You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are indeed Locked On Jets today on this Monday, April 16th, 2018. Nice to have you with us. I'm John B. from GangreneNation.com. And we are less than 2 weeks from the NFL draft. It will start April 26th, next Thursday, in Dallas, Texas. So we're rolling right along. And today's show, we're going to talk draft philosophies, which we spent quite a bit of time on last week, where I told you some draft philosophies that I really like. On today's show, what we're going to talk about are draft philosophies Mike Maccagnan has, and we're going to talk about three in particular. The three we're going to talk about, Maccagnan's actually told you through the years when speaking to members of the press that these are things he believes in, and his actions kind of back them up. And we'll also examine how he's done following these philosophies, which, in all honesty, for all three, the strategies you can argue are good. The execution may be a little lacking at this point in time, at least this far into Maccagnan's tenure. So we'll start off by talking about a philosophy that I discussed last week that I endorsed. And it's actually a philosophy that was made famous by the great general manager, the Hall of Fame executive, Ron Wolf, who, of course, was part of the team that led to Maccagnan being hired by the Jets 3 years ago. And that's being aggressive at the quarterback position in the NFL draft. And Maccagnan has been quoted as saying, "When Ron Wolf was in the interview process, I got a chance to spend a few days with him before I was actually hired. And Ron, he asked me a question in the interview about, hey, how do you go about finding a quarterback? What's your philosophy on finding or developing quarterbacks? And I gave this very long, detailed answer. That was in the interview, actually. A couple days later, I was kind of waiting to find out what was going to happen. I was here on the weekend. This was after the second interview, and I went out to dinner with Ron and Charlie Casserly, kind of waiting to see what happened. I remember asking Ron, hey, you asked me that question? So I asked him the same question. I thought I was going to get a long, complicated, detailed answer. And Ron sort of said, well, you draft one every year. And that was it was that kind of simple logic. Now, I'm not necessarily going to say I'm going to go out and draft one every year, but the thought process, when you really drill it down, was it's such an important position. You do take them, but you also take them with the idea of developing them. And that's where the conversation proceeded. So Maccagnan isn't an adherent to the Ron Wolf quarterback philosophy. And you've seen that. And as he said, he's not going to draft one every single year, but he drafted one his first year with the Jets. He traded up in the fourth round, which, now, to be fair, he moved up, traded up one spot, and he only gave up a seventh round pick. So it was not a major move. It was a fourth round pick to draft Bryce Petty. And then 1 year later, he drafted Christian Hackenberg his second year with the team, and now his fourth year with the team. He didn't draft anybody last year, but of course in his fourth year with the team, it would be the upset of the year if the Jets did not draft a quarterback with the third overall pick. If the Jets traded up for anything other than a quarterback, it would be the upset of the year, especially where Maccagnan is in his tenure, given what the Jets need, given what they gave up, which is not a big price to pay for a quarterback, but it's not a small price. 3 second-round picks are pretty valuable. So we know Maccagnan is going to be taking another quarterback. Thus far, the results, of course, have not been very good. Maccagnan's two quarterbacks have really not been success stories. Petty played very poorly. He's been the starting quarterback near the end of 2016 and 2017 for the Jets. And the results have been brutal, I mean, if we're going to be honest. And next to Christian Hackenberg, however, Petty actually seems like a success story because Hackenberg hasn't even been able to get on the field. You know, and I will say this, I'm an adherent to that philosophy. I don't get upset when I see a team being aggressive at quarterback, but I will tell you personally, in the 2015 draft, there were pretty much two quarterbacks that I wanted absolutely no part of, that I wanted the Jets to stay away from. They were Bryce Petty and Brett Hundley. And then 2016, there were two quarterbacks, again, I wanted absolutely no part of. I wanted to stay away from. They were Christian Hackenberg and Cardale Jones. And I'll say this. I mean, for all my flaws, one thing I will say is I think I'm pretty good at judging the guys who can't play in the NFL, who absolutely just cannot play. You know, my track record on who can play may be a little spotty, but I'm pretty good. If I tell you a guy can't play, I'm usually pretty good at nailing that. I will say in 2018, I'm not sure there's a guy I would be furious with at third overall, I think there are probably four options on the table. We're talking Rosen, we're talking Darnold, we're talking Allen, we're talking Mayfield. There are some guys I like better than others, but I'm probably not going to be through the roof angry with any of these picks. I think they all could potentially pan out, but I digress. The philosophy I like, again, because, again, it's the most important position on the field, and at every position, the draft is a lottery to some extent. Now, in the first round, your odds are higher of hitting than in other rounds, but especially at the quarterback position, because the quarterback position is the most difficult to project for any number of reasons. Just the complexity, the intangibles that go into it, and just the things that are impossible to evaluate, such as, you know, a quarterback is really a thinking position. And the reason people overemphasize things like arm strength and size and mobility is that those are really the only tangible things you can see when it comes to evaluating a quarterback. But those things are really just nice accessories. Those don't make or break quarterbacks, generally speaking. Generally, what makes or break a quarterback is his ability to read a defense, his ability to throw accurate footballs, which is really kind of tough to judge. You know, there are stats that kind of show you, give you some idea, but they aren't always accurate when it comes to things like ball placement. You know, can a quarterback throw a guy open? Those are things that are tough to judge. You know, they don't really, it's really tough to judge them even when you have numbers. There are some numbers, and the numbers are getting more advanced, but even those don't tell the whole story. So it's just a guessing game. And I think, I really do believe you give yourself as many chances as you can at the quarterback position. When you don't have a guy, you definitely do it. But even after you get a guy, it's important to have a second quarterback in place. And this, again, as I said last week, if you don't believe me, just look at the team that won the Super Bowl. The Philadelphia Eagles just won the Super Bowl with their backup quarterback, who a guy, you know, he was a guy they brought in. He was a guy they originally drafted, then they let go, they traded him, and he bounced around the league. But if you can find a second quarterback, even after you already have a starter, it's worth doing. So I do believe in trying to draft guys at that position, no matter what your situation is, because there's one thing in the league that you can never have too many of. It's a quarterback. You really need quarterbacks. Now, again, execution's been a little lacking here for the Jets in the Maccagnan era, or heck, for a number of eras. It's been a while since the Jets have had a good quarterback, but I think this is a sound philosophy to have. Now, there's another position where Maccagnan has a similar philosophy to the one he has at quarterback, and that's outside linebacker or edge rusher, essentially pass rusher. That's what he's looking for. And one thing he once said was, a lot of teams who have had success with 3-4 outside linebackers, you'll go back and take a look at the ones they've taken shots on, and there's a good number of misses. But I think the constant thing is they're constantly sort of stocking the pool. In fact, we tried to study their success. Pittsburgh always seems to have guys in their pipeline. They have a long period of time where one guy would be productive. Then as soon as they would maybe lose him in free agency, they'd have another step right in, right behind him. It's sort of the lifeblood of your 3-4 defense. And again, Maccagnan's track record shows you that this is something he believes in. Quarterback, he's taken a guy 2 out of 3 years. He's taken an edge guy 3 out of 3 years. He took Lorenzo Maldon in the third round of his first draft. He took Jordan Jenkins in the third round of his second draft. And last year, he took Dylan Donahue in the fifth round. And you get the feeling Kevin Green had a lot to do with that, the position coach. There was plenty of talk about how much Green loved Donahue as a prospect. So Maccagnan does believe in stocking the outside linebacker position. And I think, again, it's a philosophy that's difficult to argue with in a broad sense, because if you look at the defensive side of the ball, that's the most important position on defense. I think in almost any defense you run, you'd be hard-pressed to come up with a more important position than edge rusher, because outside of your really top-notch interior guys, the truly elite interior guys, most of the great pass rushers do come off the edge. So you constantly do have to be restocking your pipeline of talent, as Maccagnan put it. Now, you look at the guys the Jets have chosen, again, not great output so far, and we are talking about a couple third round picks, so he would have liked to have been more successful. Now, I think of this bunch, Jordan Jenkins is the success story, solid player, and this period of Jets history has been kind of rough. This has been a stretch where the Jets have had several losing seasons. They haven't been in the playoffs since 2010, so they failed on any number of levels. I think one area where the Jets have failed, it's a quiet area, is as much as they haven't developed high impact talent, which is true, and what you need and which makes the difference. They also have struggled to develop role players. They're just solid starters, guys who go out there and do their job effectively. So in that sense, I think Jenkins is a successful pick. He's a good edge setter. And he's not, I don't know he's going to give you much as a pass rusher. Maybe he'll have an 8-sack season. You know, maybe he'll get hot 1 year, have an 8-sack season. I don't think he's really a 10-sack kind of guy. I think in his best season, he's going to be a credible pass rusher, not spectacular. But he's a good guy to have against the run, and players like this are useful in the NFL. They absolutely are. You got to, you know, there's nothing wrong with a guy who can help you stop the run on early downs. So that's a success story. The other two have been much less successful. In terms of Maldon, it's just looking like a big disappointment. Third round pick is nothing to sneeze at, so you would have liked him to be more successful. In Donahue's case, talking about a small school guy who was kind of old, who now obviously is dealing with some other things off the field, if you followed his story. He was a fifth-round pick, though. I mean, I think his ceiling probably was a part-time player, maybe a special teamer. That one didn't pan out. It's not as big of a deal. And again, if you're looking late rounds, you're at least looking at the right place. You're looking at the right position to try and pick a guy. So again, this is not a strategy I can really quibble with. I think, again, you can probably quibble with some of the choices the Jets have made, especially the Maldon pick, I think, hurts. I think the Donahue pick is a fifth rounder. You're going to miss on fifth round picks. The Maldon pick right now is looking like it hurts, and I really can't say I have high hopes for Maldon at this point. There was a point in time. His rookie year, he was solid in a part-time role, and he never really grew out of that. And in fact, the Jets were counting on him to be a full-time player his second year, and he played himself out of a starting job in preseason. He was pretty much penciled in as a starter heading into that preseason, and his play was so poor that he took himself out of that role by the end of the preseason. He was playing late in the fourth game of that 2016 preseason, if you remember. But again, you're looking at the right position. You're looking for impact at that position. Now, I think one of the things you can question is, are the Jets waiting too long to take edge guys? And that's a whole nother question for a whole nother show. You know, the guys they've taken right now are not necessarily the highest ceiling guys. I think all three cases, these guys were relatively low ceilings. Now, in the case of Jenkins, it was a high floor. I think you knew Jenkins was pretty good bet to be a solid player, if on spectacular. But I think one of the things you'll question is maybe the Jets, and it's not going to be this year, because again, they have a first round pick they're using on a quarterback, and they have no second round pick. So maybe next year, maybe looking forward, do they go for guys who have a little bit higher ceiling? Or even this year, if they want to go later, do they maybe look for a higher upside guy, maybe the guy who's a great athlete but whose technique is very unrefined? You know, you get later in the draft, every player has flaws on it. In the cases of some guys, it's just they may not be as athletic, they may not have as high a ceiling. There are other guys who can be very athletic later on in the draft, but very raw. So maybe do the Jets look for something like that going forward? That's an open question, but that's really, I think, Maccagnan's second big philosophy. Now, Maccagnan's third philosophy is probably a little more controversial than stockpiling at the two most important positions on the field. He's spoken about the offensive line, and the quote that I have is, "I think historically, when you look at teams that are successful, one of the things that they do is they find value in offensive line prospects that they can kind of grow and develop. They don't always have to be high picks. A lot of teams are very successful finding an offensive line through the draft, picks from the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round, and sometimes even college free agents." And again, there is evidence that Maccagnan follows this. In his first draft, he picked Jarvis Harrison in the fifth round. Second draft, he traded in the fifth round to get a pick to pick Brandon Schell. So far, the results have been 50-50. Harrison, I believe, is actually the one player Maccagnan's drafted who's not under contract for the team right now. So that was not a successful pick. And Schell has been starting for a year, so he's a guy who looks a little more successful. Now, I think there are questions about whether Schell's a quality starter long-term. I'm not sure that that's entirely clear at this point. But for fifth-round pick so far, I think you have to like what you've gotten out of Schell. So 50-50. Now, is this a good philosophy? I got to be honest with you. This is not one that I love. And yes, it's true that teams do find quality offensive linemen later on in the draft. A lot of successful teams do, and I think especially at the guard position. Guard's a position where I do believe you have to draft, you have to be able to develop guys, where if you can get a great player, maybe you use a premium resource, but that's not necessarily what you count on. I think that it's just tough to do. I think, look, it's a good, it's a great strategy if you're actually good at doing it. And you look at, you know, the year Carolina went to the Super Bowl, that seems to be one of their philosophies. They were very good at finding kind of scrap heap level guys, guys who weren't as desired. They were good at finding undervalued players, developing them on the offensive line. That's great if you can do it. The Jets' results right now have not been great. And I think that this is kind of a window into how Maccagnan views the offensive line position, because even if you go past the way he drafts, his offensive line has had a lot of reclamation projects. I mean, he's rolled the dice on, and the weird thing is he's not been afraid to pay reclamation projects quite a bit of money. He hasn't been, even the Jets had a pretty expensive offensive line last year. Maccagnan's not afraid to throw a lot of money at those guys. When you think Ryan Clady, when you think of Kelvin Beachum, when you think James Carpenter, I mean, there are plenty of guys out there. Maccagnan has tried to sign on the relatively cheap, and he's not afraid to. But when he doesn't have to go cheap, he's not afraid to throw money at those guys. You know, guys who were not guarantees, and then that, and of course, his comments kind of provide a window into his thinking, because he has not used a premium draft pick yet. And by premium, I'm talking day one or day two. He's not used a premium draft pick yet on an offensive lineman. I think that it is a window. And again, it's this weird kind of split where he looks for reclamation projects, but he's not afraid to throw a lot of money at the guys he likes. So it hasn't worked out very well. I think that much is clear. Spencer Long is another guy, a guy he just signed this year. Even if you go back to his first offseason, James Carpenter, who was a guy who was very disappointing in Seattle, they signed. And there have been some success. Carpenter, I would say it would be fair to call a success story at this point. And, you know, Beachum wasn't a slam dunk. He wasn't a grand slam, but he was a solid guy. I mean, he was at least a good hold the fort guy. So some instances it's worked out. Other instances it hasn't. But I think overall, you look at what the Jets have gotten from the offensive line in the Maccagnan era, it's left a lot to be desired. So I think that this is one philosophy he's going to have to re-examine, because it's one thing to have this philosophy if you know how to find guys, if your team's good at developing them at that position. Look, I got no issue there. If the Jets had shown a history of being able to do it, so far 3 years in, it hasn't worked out so well. So I think that might be something he'll have to re-examine. And again, we're only talking with one premium draft pick this year because the Jets traded up, and I'm not complaining about it because the Jets do need a quarterback. Quarterback is more important than any other need, but I think it's a philosophy he's going to have to start reconsidering, because what he's done so far hasn't been working. And it's really important. I really think it's really important that you surround a young quarterback with an offensive line. I want to put, this is just one of my philosophies, I want to put as good of a team as possible around my young quarterback. But if I can only put one thing around him, I would really want to put an offensive line, because you got to protect him. You don't want your young quarterback getting beat up, if you're, especially a guy you're using a top three pick on, a guy who you're bringing in to be the savior of your franchise. I don't want him to be beat up, and I don't want him to feel like he's constantly under pressure. I don't want him to start pressing. So I think it's important that the Jets address this offensive line position sooner rather than later. And I got to be honest with you, I don't love the way it's been done so far. I like the other two philosophies. This one I'm not so crazy about. That'll do it for our show today. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast. If you enjoy the show, subscribe. We'll deliver the show to your device each day, iTunes or Spotify, two great options. And if you really enjoy the show, please leave us a positive review in iTunes. Certainly appreciate it. Thanks in advance to those who are going to do so. Have a great Monday. We'll chat again tomorrow.